Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Daily Dietitian Podcast. I am your host, Stacey Mitchell. I am so happy to have you here. My goal for this podcast is to break down the latest health topics and help clear the clutter in the messy world of nutrition and fitness. We hope to inspire, educate, and entertain all things wellness. Join us as we talk with experts in their fields on how to feel our best in our own body and mind. Hey there, thank you so much for joining us. We are back with our guest expert interviews, and I am so excited to bring you this guest, Dr. Emily, where we talk about the intricacies of maintaining a healthy gut microbiome, a very popular topic these days. We will discover what exactly the microbiome is, learn about recommended supplements and those to avoid, and gain insights into the breakdown of probiotics. Plus, I ask her some big tough questions about green powders, if they're necessary for optimal health, and what prebiotic foods to eat for a healthy gut. As an expert in digestive health, Dr. Emily shares invaluable tips on relieving common issues such as bloating, reflux, diarrhea, and constipation, some very unwanted symptoms. And I hope this episode helps you discover how to nourish your microbiome and cultivate a fear-free relationship with food. Well, Emily, it is so great to have you here with us. Will you introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Emily. I am a gut health dietitian. I focus on the gut health and GI space. I am a registered dietitian, and I also have my doctorate in clinical nutrition. I really provide a lot of like one-on-one counseling, but I love to be in the online space and provide a lot of nutrition education and kind of just make nutrition and gut health easier for people to understand and apply to their daily lives.
And gut health is the topic. I think we see it on social media. We see people talking about, you know, supplements to take, what not to do. And so what brought you to this focus?
Yeah, with gut health, like anyone else, it just kind of bombarded me. Like, I feel like it is such a hot topic that almost everyone has definitely heard of it. And it kind of went the same with me. Like when I first heard about it, I was super curious and I was like, what's going on here? And naturally just dug into a lot of like the research and what's going on with it and what we're finding out. And really like we come to see that the gut microbiome, the bacteria that lives in our gut, has a huge impact on literally every aspect of our health, including like mental health, risk for chronic disease. And like the list really does go on. So I just kind of became obsessed with like, oh my gosh, like this part of our bodies that we didn't really know about, this community that's living inside of us, like it really does impact us. And the beauty is that we have a lot of power in influencing it and kind of supporting that gut microbiome to just be healthier individuals. It kind of just like drew me in that way, for sure.
And the science is enticing. There's so much nuances when talking about some studies about the microbiome. And now that's a big scientific word. Can you like break it down for people? And how would you describe it?
Definitely. So yeah, like you said, there are a lot of nuances and the research is really new. So we are still learning a lot. And so that kind of like, it's important for people to understand that we really, we aren't experts in the gut microbiome yet. We're figuring it out. So you know, if you see these products out there or claim to say like you need X, Y, and Z to have a healthy gut microbiome, like maybe ask some questions and do your own research or look for other individuals who are experts in the field who might have some insight for that. But specifically with the gut microbiome, you know, just kind of viewing it as a community of bacteria that live in your gut. We have bacteria and microbes all throughout our digestive system, starting in the mouth all the way down to the large intestine. The majority of them live in our large intestine, so that's the kind of community that we're focused on. And also understand that there's so many different types of bacteria that live there. So our goal is to, you know, allow them to flourish, encourage diversity so that, you know, each one has their own specialty. Each bacteria has their own job and how it can enhance your health. And we want to make sure that we're feeding all the good bacteria that live there so that they can help us be healthier.
And diversity, that's like a key word for me. What does that mean when you're looking at a diverse diet?
Yeah, so like I said, there's so many different types of bacteria that live in your large intestine, and each one can have its own special effect on your health. So in reality, we want to have as many different types of beneficial microbes in our large intestine as possible. And the way I like to explain it to people is kind of each type of bacteria might have their preferred fuel or like their favorite food. So we don't really know what that is necessarily. I mean, some of them we do, but the best way to approach that is saying like, okay, if I have a more diverse diet, if I eat many different types of plants, fruits, vegetables, grains, then I'm likely feeding a diverse community, all different types of bacteria that are living in my gut.
So if someone is doing a keto diet or a carnivore diet, limiting certain food groups, does that help the diversity?
No, it's really doing the opposite. And it could be for something restrictive like the keto diet or the carnivore diet, but it also could be for other reasons people are restricting their diets. I work with a lot of clients who are struggling with GI symptoms. So not only do I focus on gut health, but I do focus on digestive health. And what I've noticed is that a lot of people who are struggling with like bloating, nausea, constipation, or diarrhea, they start to really restrict and like limit the amounts of certain foods they're eating. They look online for what they should not be eating. And usually the top of those lists are gluten, dairy, and then it starts going into like different types of fibers too. And the diet becomes more and more restrictive, which in reality can really be harming your gut microbiome as well as harming your digestion even further.
And it's such a hard spot for them to find that area where they feel better and to just trust the food. And if you have a flare up here and there, you're like, oh, I don't want to go back and eat that food. So how do you bring back the variety in the diet?
Yeah. So like you said, a hard part is really finding out like what is causing their GI symptoms in the first place. And sometimes that is a little bit of playing around with what they're eating, experimentation, kind of figuring out what works for them. For example, if I'm working with an IBS patient, depending on the person, we're likely to go through the low FODMAP diet. So a lot of that is very specific to the person. It's a temporary diet, which a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people are on the low FODMAP diet for years. And really, that is a really restrictive diet that does harm the gut microbiome in the long run. So understanding that it's temporary to try to find individual triggers and really see like what might be harming or, you know, causing these GI symptoms or just kind of provoking them. But then kind of going off of that, like if we're able to find specific triggers, how can we expand their diet and bring in diversity in other ways that would simultaneously manage those GI symptoms while also allowing the gut microbiome to flourish?
What have you seen with working with your clients once they have like trust the process? What are some outcomes they have had?
So with my clients, a lot of them are either IBS or just like in general struggling with like, honestly, I see constipation the most, but other GI symptoms like the bloating and diarrhea. And usually what we're able to do is kind of break down what they originally are kind of believing will help them. And that's usually a restrictive diet. So it's kind of like, what are you cutting out of your diet right now? Why are you cutting this out of your diet? Who told you to do that? And have you really seen any benefits with cutting out those foods? I mean, not only are they maybe not seeing improvements in their GI symptoms, but they start to see how it affects their daily life too. Like not being able to go out to eat with friends, or like having to pack their own meal when they go to like a birthday party, like not being able to really enjoy life. Like it really affects that quality of life. So what I've noticed is that people are often very surprised by how expanding their diet really helps them feel better rather than taking things away. And how that really does, like I said, enhance their quality of life and allow them to be a little less fearful around foods.
I love hearing that. Once they have started the process of maybe healing the gut a little bit more and adding more variety, what are some of your favorite foods to talk about?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. I feel like usually where I start is I ask clients, like, what are your favorite foods? What are your favorite fruits and vegetables and grains that maybe you are restricting yourself from eating? One of them that I see a lot too is if, you know, if they're like, oh my gosh, like I have bloating, or they think of IBS, or they were diagnosed with IBS, they go on that low FODMAP diet, and that cuts out a lot of really good foods, like foods that people love, like avocados. So I kind of start there, and that might even guide me into saying, okay, like if we're going to do this reintroduction phase, let's start with foods that you're excited about and see how that goes. And that really brings in a lot of joy back into eating. So I definitely like to focus on foods that people are excited about. And then I talk about just like other really powerful foods that are fiber rich, that are really simple and easy to add into daily intake, that can really benefit digestion as well as the gut microbiome.
What are your favorite high fiber foods?
My go-to is always flaxseed. I love brown flaxseed. I think it's one of those things that when people first hear about it, they're like, it kind of sounds gross. I don't really know how to approach this. But really, it's so fiber rich. It's really easy to add into a lot of meals. I specifically, you recommend adding it to oatmeal if that's something they're eating, because I feel like it blends really well into oatmeal and adds in some extra fiber. But you can add it into smoothies, yogurt bowls, even salads and salad like dressings. And then a lot of like dinner recipes too, I feel like it really just kind of goes in well. You don't really taste it very much. If you do, it's a little bit of like a nutty flavor, but it really has a lot of benefits, especially with bowel movements.
An easy one to kind of sneak in there. I enjoy the flaxseed as well. In my college course, we had to make like a specialty food or a recipe, and I did flaxseed in a chicken breading.
Oh my gosh, see?
And like, it was really good. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I should start doing that again.
Yeah. And it like, that's such a good idea too, because when I think of ways to add in flaxseed, my brain goes to like breakfast meals, but there really are ways that you can add it in. Like I never would have thought of that either, the chicken and the breading. So maybe I'll have to try that.
Yeah. I think I have a good recipe too, like a mozzarella stick with stuffed in a chicken breast. And then we added the breading and flaxseed mix, and is really good.
Awesome.
I want to have this talk about whole flax seeds, because I just tried these flackers. They're crackers that are pretty much just all flax seeds. And I was always the understanding that they needed to be ground. Do you have any input or insight on that?
Yeah, I think it depends. In terms of, like, I kind of think of your body needs to break down and digest that for it to be, you know, to move through, but also like if your gut microbiome is going to be digesting it, if the bacteria are going to be breaking it down, a whole seed might not be broken down as well if it doesn't get, you know, broken down by your teeth. But overall, even if it moves through as a whole seed, that's just another kind of like an insoluble fiber. It moves through as the roughage too. I think maybe the ground version would be more of a soluble fiber that kind of makes that gel-like consistency in your gut. I mean, can really be exposed to other modes of digestion, whether it's enzymes or the gut microbiome. But either one, like definitely adding a lot of nutrients, different types of fiber, and then also, you know, once you do break down the full seed, you'll get the benefit of it in kind of a ground form as well.
Yeah. Always fun to try a product that's new or a high fiber, this of just easy ways for a snack or something crunchy that I always love. And I also want to talk about some other products, these probiotic drinks. They are like a replacement for soda. How do you feel about them?
Yeah. I love how you said they're a replacement for soda, because that's really how I view them in my brain. I don't really view them as a like health food that you need to have in order to have a healthy gut microbiome. Some of these things just have prebiotics, some have probiotics, and just kind of a simple explanation of that. Prebiotics are the food that feeds the gut bacteria that live in your large intestine, where probiotics are actually consuming bacteria that we know that are beneficial to our health. So I think, too, a lot of focus should be more on the prebiotics so we can feed the gut bacteria that's already living in our body and allow it to flourish, because everyone's gut microbiome is unique to them. It's like a fingerprint. So really, you just want to like feed the beneficial bacteria that are already there. And then when it comes to probiotics, you know, it's good to be eating fermented foods, kombucha, some of these probiotic drinks. Like, it might help to add a little bit of that beneficial bacteria, but really the focus is feeding those bacteria and allowing them to flourish. So, you know, if you are a soda drinker, these might be just a little bit of a healthier alternative that might have some gut health benefits. But in reality, like, you do not need to be drinking, you know, a probiotic or prebiotic soda or like kombucha or anything like that to in order to have a healthy gut.
Yes, that is fantastic to hear. What is your take about probiotic supplements?
Yeah, so that's the question I get a lot too with my clients, because they're, a lot of times people have a long list of supplements or have heard a lot about probiotics and are like, what should I be taking? It really is so individualized. It really depends on the person, and it really depends on what science that we have out there. Like I said, there are so many different types of bacteria living in our gut, and bacteria that we're seeing, you know, give us benefits to our health, but each bacteria has kind of their own job or their own benefit. And so, you know, like I said, gut health science is so, and like research is so new. So like, we're still figuring out like which type of bacteria, which strain is beneficial for what. And there are a lot that we are kind of figuring out, but that is the main question for the client as well, is like, why are you taking a probiotic? What benefits are you trying to see? Is it specific to IBS, you know, IBS-D, IBS-C? Is it specific to bloating or even like your skin health, vaginal health? You know, the list goes on, and it's specific to that person. So, you know, first identifying like, what do you want to get out of this probiotic? And then also saying, okay, now what science do we have that shows the specific bacteria can help you with that problem.
Right. And some of those supplements, you know, they may not be certified. We don't know if our body absorbs them. They're a little pricey. And where food first is kind of a good option for that.
Definitely. I am definitely a food first kind of person. Honestly, usually when I start working with clients, I ask them what supplements they're taking, and usually start with cutting down a lot of those supplements and seeing where we can enhance their diet. And then maybe if we're still seeing areas that, you know, we don't see a lot of change in, or we have, you know, blood work done that shows that they might need a certain supplement, that's where I might step in and say, like, let's get you a really good quality supplement for this specific problem that you're trying to solve or to prevent. Definitely looking for like a third party tested supplement so we know it's a good quality one.
Because supplements make us feel like, oh yeah, I'm doing something good for my body. It's that quick fix. I was even watching, I got sucked into this little video on Instagram, and it was talking about like teen health, how your daughters have mood swings, or I could relate to that, having two preteenage daughters myself. And I thought, then they showed them eating like good foods, and they're like, oh, that's hard. And then they're like, try these gummy supplements. And yes, if a gummy supplement is something they enjoy, fine. But I don't think that's the solution there. Like, they wanted it to be. So, yes.
Definitely. And I think I just really like to highlight the fact that it's called a supplement. It's not supposed to be replacing something. So, you know, really starting first with trying to establish a nutritious, well-rounded diet. And like you said, that might be really hard for teens, and who knows, maybe a multivitamin or whatever can help fill in some of the gaps. But also, it's good to start young and teaching, you know, kids or teenagers what a well-rounded, nutritious diet looks like. Like, we want it to be, you know, the more we do it as they're younger, it'll be easier and more like, you know, second nature as you get older too.
Right. And that's where those flaxseed and those energy bites really come in handy to boost their fiber. So
exactly. Yeah. And like, showing them that nutritious foods can really be so delicious too. Like, it doesn't have to be some gross whatever. Right. Like, those energy bits are so good.
With mini M&Ms, they love them. So yeah.
Yum. Yes, absolutely.
What is your take on sugar substitutes, whether that be Splenda or Stevia or anyone in between? How does that affect the gut microbiome?
I think there are some studies coming out, but it's definitely limited on how specifically certain sugar substitutes affect the gut microbiome. I look at it more in terms of the digestion side of things, especially with like sugar alcohols can cause a lot of GI upset for people. So a lot of the things that end in OL, the names you might see on like the ingredient list, but those, you know, if people are trying to be healthier, they have these GI symptoms, they're being more aware of what they're putting into their body, and they really think, oh, these like sugar-free items are better for me. Like I'm just being healthier that way. In reality, not realizing that a lot of, you know, if it's sweetened with sugar alcohols, it might be actually leading to a lot of GI upset. Most people can handle them in normal doses, say, but a lot of people, it causes usually more of like a diarrhea, like it pulls in a lot of water into your GI tract and kind of causes like those watery stools. So that's something, you know, I'm often educating people on as well. And then also too, just talking about like sugar in general, I think there is a lot of like, I don't know, people like demonize sugar in so many ways. And I get it. Like we don't want to be eating a diet full of super added sugar, but you also want to learn how to have a balanced diet. So like if you are going to be having sugar, like what else can you be having with it or around it that, you know, might blunt the effects on your blood sugar or might just allow you to have a more nutritious meal. And then also just building up this relationship with food. Like we don't want to be deeming foods good or bad. We don't want to have like this guilt around food. And I see that a lot with sugar intake.
You heard it from the professional.
Yeah, sugar is not going to kill you. Like it's okay to have them in your diet, but also it's all about the balance, right?
Right, right. I love hearing that. And then kind of on that same page, when we talk about supplements as well as the probiotics, greens powders, you know, that's all the hot new rage. And you hear those ads all the time, even from my Good Science podcast sometimes, advertised in there. And I'm always like, eh. So how do you feel about them?
I am not a fan of greens powders. In reality, I view them as a very expensive multivitamin. I do think that they can help you get some nutrients, but also, like any supplement, you know, you want to find something that's third-party tested. You want to know, like, if what they're saying on their label is actually true, if that's actually what the ingredients are, where they're sourcing them from, what it's providing. But it is in no way a replacement for fruits and vegetables at all. Like, there are so many benefits to eating fruits and vegetables, having whole food, having that fiber that you really are going to be missing out on with only consuming those greens powders. And I think, like, you know, if you like the taste of them and they don't cause you GI upset, because there are a lot of them that have, like, certain fibers or ingredients that might cause GI upset with people, and you have the budget for it, go ahead. But it's really not going to be, like, the end-all be-all for your health and really, like, making much of a difference, I don't think.
Right. They're so enticing. I will have to say that. Every time I hear a marketing ad or see it, I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I'm like, no, because I have tried one. It was a powdered type of a smoothie. And sorry, my body did not tolerate it. And they gave me my money back, which was great. But
well, that's nice. You know, yeah.
It's just, yeah, you don't know what's actually in them. So definitely the food first approach again.
Yeah. And like the same thing too, if it's enticing to you and you can afford it and you don't feel bad on it, like you like the taste, sure. Like I said, it's not going to be like the best thing to fix your health. Like they kind of, a lot of claims are, but it's also not going to probably, you know, hurt your health as long as your GI system can tolerate it. So if you like it, go ahead, but just know that it's not a replacement to eating plants.
Yes. Ah, great. Let's talk about some popular reels or posts that have resonated with your audience.
Definitely. So I do try to post a variety of educational content and kind of that entertaining videos. I don't know. I really try to figure out like what my community is looking for and what does resonate with people. I think really simple fiber-rich recipes is definitely one of the main ones. Something that's not complex, like knowing that they're going to be getting in these extra fibers, because they're probably hearing it all over the place online, or at least on my page, the importance of fiber. So it's like, okay, you're telling me how important fiber is. Like, how do I eat more of it? So definitely those like easy recipes, which like I love too, because as much as I love food, I am not a cook. I really do kind of go with the easy stuff. I actually just made these like kind of snack bites with raspberries, chia seed, and I dipped them in dark chocolate, and it was amazing. And I think the entire recipe has like 20 grams of fiber, which is amazing. Obviously, you wouldn't eat all of it in one sitting, but like you definitely could eat like 3 to 4 of them, and that would give you like 5 to 8 grams. So it's pretty great. I was proud of them for sure. And then like a lot of lifestyle tips, I think, are really resonating with people. I feel like a lot of, especially in like the GI realm and like digestive health, we're told like, okay, in order for your digestion and your GI tract to feel better, don't eat these foods or eat these foods. But really, like a lot of times what's going on with our digestion is not just about what you're eating. It can be a lot with like your meal hygiene, stress management, nervous system regulation, movement after meal times, and kind of different little tactics we can incorporate into our day that might help with digestion as well.
That's huge. That is one part that you might not think of stress having a lot to do with your gut health with that. I always say, just think of, when you're stressed, like for a big exam in college, I remember I would be like, okay, where's the bathroom? Making that connection of how stress affects the gut is what I'm trying to say here.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think too, like a lot of times we hear this term of like fight or flight, like our bodies go into that fight or flight mode. The opposite of that is rest and digest. So if we're constantly stressed, there's no way that our bodies can be stressed and digest at the same time. Like those are opposite parts of our nervous system working. So I really kind of help people figure out what tactics they can use to get into that rest and digest mode before, during, and after a meal.
Oh, I love hearing that. That is a great part of it. Tell everyone your services and where people can connect with you.
Yeah, so currently I'm doing one-on-one nutrition counseling. Like I said, I focus mostly on people who either are struggling with GI symptoms or are just kind of interested in enhancing their overall health through their gut. And then I'm hoping in the future to expand into group programs, so definitely keep an eye out for that. I just think it'd be really powerful to reach more people. And also I love to have like some sort of support system within that for my clients. You know, a lot of times making health or nutrition changes can be really challenging. So working through it with people and having a community that you can talk to and kind of bounce ideas off, I think would be really great. So those right now, it's just a one-on-one counseling. You can find me on Instagram at dr.emily.rv. If you just want to, you know, see what I do, learn a little bit about me, feel free to reach out to me in my DMs. But I also do have a website. It's dremilyrv.com. So you can look through there, look at my services, see which insurances I take is also on there. And then there's a contact page if you'd like to reach out.
That's very helpful, that insurance piece part of it. And I also see you have a free GI flare-up guide that people can download and connect with you. Love seeing that, all the help they can get. Any last takeaways?
I guess one of my main messages that I like to share with people, and it's kind of an easy one to kind of keep in the back of your mind, whether it's around mealtimes or snacks, is nutrition by addition. So really, if you're wanting to focus on your nutrition, instead of thinking of what can you take away, try to think of what can you add to a meal, whether you're trying to add in more protein or add in more fiber or more fruits and vegetables, rather than taking away and kind of creating this like restriction and fear around meals. So that's my biggest thing. Like if you can do anything this week or after hearing this podcast, definitely just changing that mindset and thinking like nutrition by addition, what can I add?
Yes. I'm going to make a jingle to that because it just rolls off the tongue so nicely.
Yes, I think so too. It's like one of my favorite things. And every time I bring it up, people are like, oh my gosh, I love that. I'm like, yes, take it, run with it. Tell your friends, yes. Make it a thing.
Yes, totally. And I will definitely be trying out those chia raspberry dark chocolate bites. Those look amazing and so simple too. Yes.
Yeah, super simple. I have a really small kitchen and I was able to do it. So if I can do it, you can do it.
Yes. Emily, thank you so much for sharing all your helpful tips. Kind of tested your brain here a little bit while I had you on the spot. So thank you for going along with that. And it was so much fun to hear about your services and all the helpful guidance that you provide with your audience.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
As we conclude this episode, I hope our discussion with Dr. Emily has provided you with valuable insights into the world of gut health. because it is so confusing. We see so many supplements or foods to take out of our diet on social media, and it just gets overwhelming and kind of a bit scary. And so from this episode, I hope it has helped you understand the microbiome to learning how to nourish it from within. I hope this conversation has shed some light on the essential strategies for promoting digestive wellness. And by implementing these tips and advice shared today, I want to help you move forward towards a healthier gut and overall well-being. Be sure to go and follow Dr. Emily on Instagram and download her free guide. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Dietitian Podcast.